Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 39 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. In the description area below, you'll find the two links, as always. The first one is the Lenten calendar, which contains all 40 scriptures for this whole Lenten journey, which are linked out to Bible resources online. The second one is our companion download, which is basically a study guide that goes a little bit deeper into the subjects that we talk about each episode. So, with all of the business out of the way, today is Good Friday.
So good.
Yes.
I know it sounds funny to say it's good because it's so intense.
Dark and ominous. And
yes.
A lot of really hard things happened on this day nearly 2,000 years ago. But thank the Lord that that wasn't the end, and that's why we can call it Good Friday. There are so many things that we could talk about today that as we look through the scriptures and see how much was recorded, how many things happened today in the life of the Lord and his disciples.
Every day was jam-packed of things.
Seems like it this last week, it just, everything was being compressed.
So we had a list.
Yeah. As we were looking through it, we looked at the kangaroo court that convicted him. We looked at the leaders taking Barabbas instead of him in that deal that was offered the first time he went to Pontius Pilate. We looked at the conversation that he had with Pilate where they talked about what was truth and just how great God was, and that Pilate really didn't have any authority. That was a little interesting. Then there was the beating and the crucifixion. There was the thieves on the cross.
And then there was Nicodemus.
And then at the end of the day, there was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who came and took his body down.
And put it in the tomb. So much.
And Joseph of Arimathea gave him his own tomb that he had prepared for himself so that they could lay his body in it. So there's so much there to talk about. But one of the things that I think both you and I agreed on is this one passage in John. Would you like to read it?
I would love to. This is, I know I've said it a lot of times about something being my favorite, but this one has deep, goes way back with me. I wear this on my arm.
24/7.
24/7.
365 days a year.
So the scripture comes from John 19:30 from the New King James Version. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
The very last words that Jesus uttered in this life.
It is finished.
It is finished. And that's the English. What is the Greek?
Tetelestai.
Say that again.
Tetelestai.
Tetelestai. It's one word. It's one word in the Greek. And so what we thought we would do is take you through a little bit of a rundown of what exactly is the significance of that word. The definition of tetelestai is it is finished, but tetelestai comes from the Greek verb teleo, which means to bring to an end, to complete, or to accomplish. It's a critical word because it signifies the successful end to a particular course of action. It's the word you would use when you finally make the peak of Mount Everest. It's the word you would use when you turn in the final copy of your dissertation. And it's the same word that you would use when you make that final payment on your mortgage. That is the significance of that word. It is the final moment where you have accomplished something that you've set out to do. It means more than I survived. It means I did exactly what I set out to do, and it's done, complete, over.
I love that description.
Mm-hmm. Now there's another twist, because in Greek you have the tenses of the, and I don't know, you're rolling your eyes at me.
Just laughing. I'm like, here we go.
This is not English tenses. The Greek tenses, they have like seven forms and six forms and seven tenses or something like that. It's very complex language, but it's a very precise language. The form of this verb, tetelestai, is what they call the perfect tense. And that's significant because the perfect tense speaks of an action which has been completed in the past, but it has results continuing on into the present. It's different from the past tense, which just looks back to an event and says, this happened. The perfect tense adds the idea that this happened and it's still in effect today and will continue on. So when Jesus said, it is finished, tetelestai, he was saying, it is complete and will forever be complete.
So those that follow me, their sins are erased, their illnesses are gone, and they have complete salvation.
Mm-hmm. And what are the words that we've talked about so much in this journey is the shalom and the sozo. Without the tetelestai, those could not have happened. Mm-hmm. But now that there is tetelestai, and he uttered that word on the cross, he made it possible for us to have the sozo, the salvation, the complete restoration.
And perfect peace.
Perfect peace. Yes, shalom, shalom.
Yeah. Like I said, this word, I wear this bracelet and it says tetelestai. And on the other side of it, it says paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reminder to me. It was a really dark time in my life when I heard this word, and I was immediately just drawn to it. I mean, I loved it. I heard it in a sermon. I'm like, whoa, it was like mind blown when I heard it. And so I started to wear this, but I didn't understand the magnitude until we met and we started talking about the healing that came along with this. And we talked about Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm like, whoa, it didn't just mean...
your sins were...
yeah,
finished.
It meant everything. Everything. And like, I wish I would have known that back then. Like, and I didn't have to do for it. Like, I didn't have... I had to change my mindset, follow Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. Because that was it, period.
Done.
So I think at the time, I still thought there was doing associated with it, but that sins were erased. But I didn't quite understand that there wasn't the do associated with it.
Yeah, and this word means that his sacrifice might have occurred at a point in time and space, but the results are carried on into eternity. In other words, when Jesus declared it is finished, he was saying that his mission to redeem sinners had reached its intended goal and that the benefits to the redeemed would last throughout all eternity.
So past, present, and future.
All of it.
Yeah.
He covered all the sins from Adam onward with that one act.
So good.
Mm.
So good.
There's so much there to process.
And I know we talked about the thieves on the cross, and we know from Scripture that one of them turned to Jesus before he died. And so again, it doesn't matter when you show up.
Right? No.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up, and you get those same, he's going to have that same inheritance that we do.
And, you know, I think salvation and following the Lord has been preached for so long as fire insurance. Mm-hmm. Accept the Lord so you don't go to hell. And while that's valid, it's the truth, because we're all born under the curse, and so we are all from birth headed towards judgment. So that is a true statement, but what it leaves out is the right now. Because there's so much more to salvation. The moment that you accept the Lord, you have, present tense, eternal life. Mm. And you have eternal fellowship with Him. You have the sozo, and you have the Holy Spirit given to you as a down payment of your inheritance.
And I think back to that dark time when I learned about this word. It was a dark time. Mm-hmm. I was broken. When I look back now, I see how God used that, absolutely used every piece and took the brokenness and painted it, just made it into this beautiful, you know, stained glass mosaic or whatever, just put all those pieces together and took the ashes, you know, and made them into beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, okay, so I got through the divorce, I got through the, you know, tough financial times as a single mom, I got through illnesses, and then I met you, and we're at this amazing property. Like, God was in it all.
Everything.
And so He's there. I mean, that's the right now. Like, mm-hmm. all of those things would not be possible without God. Like, absolutely. My job, like, they found me. I didn't even apply, you know? So I look back at that, I'm like, well, that's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence.
And that's what we spent so much time talking about in the beginning of our relationship, was the similarities in what God had done in both of our lives, and taken those broken pieces, brought them back together, helped us heal up and grow in our relationship with Him, and then He brought us together.
Because mm-hmm. if we would have met before, it would have
no,
been a big mess.
I think it probably would have
been two broken people without any healing. And yeah, and even our relationship, even meeting, there's no way possible that we would have met. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just look at the logistics of that.
Yeah.
And in two different states, randomly, you showed up in the dating app on, I'm like, it wasn't even technically possible.
Right.
Mr. Geek and a Vikings.
Yeah.
A geek nerd. A nerd in a Vikings body.
Nerd trapped in the body of a Viking.
Yeah, so you would know that. Like, there was no way possible but God.
Yep. Algorithms don't hiccup like that.
No.
Unless, of course, there's a divine inspiration somewhere in that algorithm.
Absolutely. And it was and it was 1 month before we met that I said, I surrender. I'm done with the trying to figure it out myself, God. And almost to the day, a month later. Mm-hmm.
To tell us that was the mm-hmm. key.
It was.
Which shined the light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, like I said, the back of this bracelet where it says paid in full, I love that term. So He's our kinsman redeemer and paid the price for us to be free from the enslavement. Mm-hmm. And the bondage. So just like, here you go, bank. I'm paying it off. Let's tear up that bill.
Yeah. And this is a good point, I think, to throw in that quote that I found from Erwin Lutzer.
Mm, yes.
Talking about tetelestai, he says that this means that my sins are on Jesus, not on me.
That's so good.
When did all this happen? 2,000 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. How many of your sins were on Jesus at that time? All of them. Is that only the all of them up until today?
Nope.
No. It's all of them from the time of your birth until the time that you go on to the next life.
And He knew. He did this willingly.
Yeah.
And He knew what we were going to do. Like, He knew what those sins were. And He's like, okay, still do it. I sign up. I'll do it. Because we love them. I'm talking about the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So we love them so much that we will do this.
Yeah. And so He goes on and He says, yes, there's sin within me, but not on me. My old sinful nature keeps luring me back towards sin. Mm. And even in my best moments, my works are tainted with selfish motives. But legally, I am accepted on the basis of the merit of Jesus. Figuratively speaking, I have a new set of clothes and a clear record in heaven. The righteousness of Jesus has been forever credited to my account. Isn't that good?
It's really good. So good.
We need to remember this. There are so many times I can remember in my growing up in kind of a religious mindset. Not too religious, but there was always that doubt. Well, you know, have I confessed everything? Have I cleaned out the closet enough for Jesus to accept me today? And there was always that doubt. We need to realize that this was a once and for all and forever event.
One and done.
It is finished. What a relief.
Yes.
You don't ever have to worry about that.
But that's
anymore.
That's not a free ride to go.
No, it's not a get out of jail free card. Well, it is.
It is, but it's doesn't mean that we don't want to, and I'm going to say the word do good to please the Lord, and not in a doing sense, but he's given us examples of what's right and wrong. We know what is right and wrong. So we shouldn't, you know, those 10 commandments, just looking at those. Okay, there's some things in there that morally you should not be doing. Legally, you should not be doing. So it doesn't mean that just you go and do those things and you're like, I'm free. So just want to throw that in there.
Oh, yeah. It changes your motivation.
Because you're so grateful.
That's like, the whole
I'm
thing.
I'm so grateful that, I mean.
You're doing it out of love.
Just thinking about this. I read and it was a scientific spin on today.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through the crucifixion and talked about the process. And it was.
Oh, it's the most awful form of torment.
Physically, the way that he died and the suffocation, the pain, they said when his wrists, because it was the wrists that were nailed to the cross, when the weight of his body fell, I think they said elbows and shoulders were dislocated immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, the loss of blood,
and in that point where they put the nail in the wrist, that's where the core of nerves goes through.
Yes,
it's one of the most excruciating places to put that nail.
And when they jammed the crown of thorns into his head, the blood loss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had put the robe on him to stop the blood loss, I guess, on his shoulders is what this article talked about. But they said he was in shock, so that's why he couldn't carry the cross all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would just went into shock. Yeah, and your body, in order to breathe, the diaphragm goes up and down. Mm-hmm. And when you're hanging, it can't do that. And so they said the internal lungs and the heart area are just filled with fluid. Mm-hmm. So when they pierced him.
That's where the water and the blood.
The water and the blood, because he was suffocating.
Yep.
And the other two that were on the cross, they said they went and broke their legs.
Right.
At the end, and that would cause them to
die more rapidly.
Yeah.
So that they didn't hang on the cross because it was approaching the Sabbath.
God forbid. They, you know.
Well, it was forbidden for them to be hanging on the cross.
So I share that not to be gruesome, but I was just so grateful. So.
Yep. And that's the motivation change.
Yeah.
The law was due to get acceptance and to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant, we do things because we're so grateful and we love him. We can never do it perfectly. They never did it perfectly under the law. Therefore, everybody needs a savior.
And, you know, when they talk about, we've talked about this a lot, we're supposed to love others, even if, even then, even when.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we didn't cover the scripture here out of Luke, where he says, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even at the end, they're tearing his clothes off and going through his stuff. And he's saying, just forgive them.
Yep.
You know, look at Pontius Pilate the day, I mean, not Pontius Pilate, look at Judas the day before. Like mm-hmm. he knew, he still had him at the Last Supper and knew he was going to betray him.
Through his whole ministry, he knew. He knew that that was who's going to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he loved him just the same as all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then I know we talked about Nicodemus. And I just love that he was there. And I love that hearing that. Because again, when we go back to The Chosen, I've been watching The Chosen. And Nicodemus seems like he's a good guy underneath all that Pharisee stuff. But I think that's another one of those, okay, I'm looking at all the facts, I'm adjusting my mindset, and I believe.
Well, the cool thing about both Joseph and Joseph of Arimathea,
mm-hmm.
not Jesus's father Joseph, but Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, is that both of them believed in Jesus, but were too afraid of the retaliation against them because they were members of the Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
They were too afraid to come out and say that when Jesus was alive. After his death, they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They came forward and they said, no, we're gonna take care of Jesus' body. And they came out of the shadows. That pulled them out to where they just let go of all that. And it was really cool because I fully expect to see them both in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was their conversion moment.
Well, and didn't Nicodemus meet with Jesus privately before?
Prior to this, yes. Yeah.
And so he was trying to learn.
He was.
He wanted to know.
He was so steeped in his religion, but he was still curious enough. You know, they say the biggest obstacle to knowledge or the biggest obstacle to truth is the preconception that you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a certain level of humility to always remain teachable.
I know, I don't like to be wrong. Just saying.
Nobody likes to be wrong.
No, I can't. It's that flesh. I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to say
I was wrong. Or you were right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't imagine at that level being in the position that he was in, mm-hmm. just say, we missed the mark.
Yeah.
We didn't realize this was the Messiah.
Thankfully, that wasn't the end of it. Because 2 days later, Jesus comes back and says, hey, I'm back.
Hey, don't give it away.
Oh, wait.
We have one more day.
Shh. That's not today. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But anyway. No, Nicodemus and Joseph was a cool story too.
And then, just thinking of the day, I know, I can't remember which book it was in, but, you know, his mom was there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that.
But she had known all along as well,
mm-hmm.
that's where he was heading. Still couldn't have made it any easier.
But he made sure. He's like, okay, you take care of her.
Yeah. That was awesome. From the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after that excruciating scourging and beating and the cat of nine tails and all of that, they ripped his beard from his face. After all that, he's hanging on the cross in that horrible pain, and he's concerned about his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, can I read this quote from Spurgeon?
Oh, I'd love you to. I love Tetelestai, and when you found this, it's so good. Please.
Yes, this, I think we'll leave this with you today, or we'll sign off with this. And I really want you to listen to the words, because this is a powerful piece by Charles Spurgeon talking very specifically about Tetelestai. It says, the general religion of mankind is do, but the religion of a true Christian is done. It is finished. Is the believer's conquering word. Incarnate love has fulfilled his self-imposed task. Jesus, as the substitute for sinners, was condemned to die, and he died that he might finish the work of our redemption. Your sins have sustained their death blow. The robe of your righteousness has received its last thread. It is done, complete, and perfect. It needs no addition. It can never suffer any diminution. O Christian, do lay hold of the precious thought. I may not be able to state it except in weak terms, but let not my weakness prevent your apprehending its glory and its preciousness. This thought is enough to make a man leap, though his legs were chained with irons, and to make him sing, though his mouth were gagged. We are perfectly accepted in Christ, and our justification is not partial. It does not go to a limited extent, but goes the whole way. Our unrighteousness is covered. From condemnation, we are entirely and irrevocably free. Consummatum est, the Latin words for tetelestai, say that the work is done. Redemption is accomplished. The salvation of my people is forever secured. Sin will never be mentioned against them anymore, forever. O wondrous deed of deity, O mighty feat of love, accomplished once for all.
So good. I had chills. Ooh, good stuff.
Yeah, he's a master wordsmith, yeah. But that, we could talk forever about tetelestai and what it accomplished. But you know how you find out? Just read the Bible, and it will tell you everything that it accomplished.
Amen, amen, amen.
And then read after, because then it will tell you what sozo and shalom is all about. Awesome stuff.
Very good. Want to pray us out?
Yes, can I?
Yes, please.
Oh, good. Will you pray with us? Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that even though it was such a hard day, that you endured all of that to get to the place where you could utter the words to tell us that it is finished. We thank you, Lord, that through it all, you persevered and you endured and you made it through because of your incredible, amazing love for us. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for that amazing gift that you have given us. We could never, ever even begin to repay that. Lord, help us to keep our eyes off of the doing and the performing as if there was some way that we could repay it by our actions. And help us to just keep our eyes on the fact that love is our response. Gratitude and love for you and all that you've accomplished for us. Father God, in those tough times where we're tempted to come under condemnation, or the enemy is whispering lies in our ears and telling us we're not worthy and that we're not good enough, Father, I just pray that through your Spirit, you just whisper tetelestai in our ears and bring to our remembrance all that you have accomplished and that you have wiped everything away. All of our misdeeds, all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our unworthiness, all of our shame, you have nailed that to the cross and taken it to the grave, and we don't have to bear it anymore. Thank you, Father God, for providing this avenue for us to be able to come into your presence and to be in relationship with you. Help us to learn to walk in that and just keep our hearts humble and grateful, forever remembering this incredible cost that you paid for us. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for this journey that you've been leading us on. Help us to journey on with Jesus every day from here on out, keeping our eyes steadfast and focused straight ahead on the path that he's laid out before us. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you. We praise you, and we pray all of these things in the name of our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. And all of God's kids said, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Should we leave him with some
perfect peace? Yes, shall we? Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next time.
We love you.